W266CX Prutco. Talk Radio.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. President Trump took his border wall message to an annual farmers convention in New Orleans today.
In a speech to farmers, the president touted his trade and farm policies, but he also made the case for building a wall on the southern border, assuring farmers that they will still be able to get the immigrant help they need.
We're going to make that actually easier for them to help the farmers because you need these people.
The president said a wall or barrier will strengthen national security, and he blamed 2020 presidential politics on the Democrats' refusal to fund the wall. Greg Clugston, Washington.
Two congressional Democrats are moving to formally punish Iowa's Steve King over comments that some regard as racist.
Congressman Bobby Rush and Tim Ryan are filing motions to censure King over comments he made in a New York Times interview that seemed to embrace the terms white supremacist and white nationalist. The comments were quickly condemned by members from both parties. Censure is a moderately severe form of punishment that doesn't remove a member from office, but does require them to give up any committee chair positions. It's only been used 23 times in U.S. history.
Capitol Hill correspondent Wally Hines reporting. Republican House Leader Kevin McCarthy has also promised to take action against King. Correspondent Mike Hempen reports the Russia investigation will be a key topic when Attorney General nominee William Barr goes before the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Barr's past stances on the Russia probe have raised concerns among Democratic senators that he could stifle the investigation as it reaches its final stages or make decisions that protect President Trump. But Barr is expected to say the president has not sought any assurances, promises, or commitments from him of any kind, either express or implied.
Barr appears tomorrow. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 86 points, the NASDAQ dropped 65, the S&P lower by 14. More on these stories at townhall.com.
When it comes to your pain, many of you might be skeptical, like I was, about ordering Relief Factor. Pat Boone again for this wonderful 100% drug-free supplement designed to help your own body lower or eliminate occasional aches and pains due to aging, exercise, everyday living. I'm not skeptical any longer. The 3-week quick start is now discounted to only $19.95. Why don't you let us see if we can get you out of pain, too, at ReliefFactor.com.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates, our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
A surprising admission from Israel about a recent attack in Syria. We hear the latest from the Media Line's Michael Friedson.
Airstrikes and military operations carried out against Israel's hostile neighbors are, as matter of policy, never confirmed nor denied by the Israelis. So it was noteworthy that Prime Minister Netanyahu confirmed on Sunday that Israel has carried out hundreds of attacks inside of Syria. The rare look into the Jewish state's private side followed a Friday night attack on the Damascus airport. Netanyahu described the target as an ammunition depot that was hit by missiles launched from Israeli fighter jets. Syria state media claimed the incoming rockets were destroyed, a claim denied by Jerusalem. The prime minister said the nation has faced a variety of threats from Iran and from its terror proxy, Hezbollah, based in Beirut. I'm Michael Friedson, Town Hall News, Jerusalem.
News and analysis at themedialine.org and townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters in Washington.
Hi, it's Mac with Baker Glass. If you're having trouble finding a clear option for that new shower enclosure or a replacement for that fog glass, then call the Baker Boys or find us at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better. Hi, this is Mac with Baker Glass, where we use our more than 32 years of experience to provide a complete glass service to all of our customers and a clear choice for you. See for yourself at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
We're getting listener reports of some major delays because of a crash on the West Beltway 295 northbound at Roosevelt Boulevard and U.S. 17 right off the Buckman. All lanes are blocked. That's northbound on 295. Also big delays on the West Beltway southbound beyond Pritchard Road, blocking the left lane on the west side. Partly cloudy and cool tonight, low 43. Tuesday, mostly sunny, high around 59.
The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
1.7 billion were there for his birth. 220 countries tuned in for his first step.
Woohoo!
The world stood still for that stolen kiss. And as he grew, so did the technology. Broadcast live and unedited to an audience around the globe.
Cool, man.
Coming to you now, enclosed in the largest studio ever constructed, and along with the Great Wall of China, one of only two man-made structures visible from space. Now, it's...
I'm speaking plainly with Bill Hay.
Good afternoon, Jacksonville. Welcome to another edition of The Last Word. Today being The Last Word in Politics, I'm your host, Bill Hay, and joining me in the studio is mayoral candidate Jimmy Hill. Good evening, Jimmy, and welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Bill. It's been a pleasure. I've been listening to a lot of your shows, and it's been an absolute pleasure. We're glad to be here.
Good deal. Well, you're in the fray now.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be a mud-slinging, hard road to hoe. Are you ready?
So ready, I can't even talk about it. And it's funny, just watching it develop, I'm excited about the that part of it, because we're going to try and stay above that fray a little bit and take a different approach. And we've already seen it from two other people that the rocks are flying, and we're going to try and stay out of that for a little bit.
Tell me a little bit about how you plan to prosecute your campaign going forward. I guess basically in a nutshell, I'm trying to get an idea of who is Jimmy Hill.
Absolutely. So there's a couple ways to answer that. The first thing is, you know, technically, how do we get there? Because it's a numbers thing. We have to get a certain number of votes. And what we've done is we've looked at our background, who we have in our camp, and who is out there, and who they have in their camp. And our campaign looks extraordinarily good right now. We've done some things in our background. You know, as a commissioner in Atlantic Beach, I did some things where it took a tremendous amount of courage to stand against an unconstitutional piece of legislation that was pushed down our throats. And I fought it very hard, and I picked up a very, very large group of very committed voters who understood that the Constitution is a special document, and little cities and even towns the size of Jacksonville should not be impeding in that document. And that was the HRO. The HRO was not a strong move for anybody. That should be handled at minimum state level and maximum federal level, and it should not be handled in a local government. That ordinance was bad, and I fought it for a long time, that ordinance has, and it will not hold up. And I told the LGBTQ community that the people that had them chasing that tail of that dog had them chasing something that won't do anything for them either. And it turns out that's exactly the case. Supreme Court won't defend it now. It's crazy. And then there's other big, large voting blocks that I speak labor. You know, I'm a very conservative person, but I was a labor union president, which is an unheard of combination. That's a really bizarre thing to have. But most of the organized labor in Jacksonville, not so much the elected officials in those camps, but the actual workers, understand that. And I have connections into big, big voter blocks that are very, very unhappy with the incumbent, and equally unhappy with the challenger that everybody's talking about. So we're kind of sneaking in up on this one. We're not coming in from any normal angle. We actually have a deep root base that really knows who we are. The media apparently is pretty blind to us, and to your credit, you're one of the few people that has recognized what we're about to do, probably, and it's starting to gain speed, and the media is starting to talk about us a little bit more, and that may be a bad thing from that rock throwing that we were talking about, but we're in this, and we're in it very seriously, and we do not need a ton of money to win it. This is as grassroots and organic as it gets, and it's legitimately moving very well.
You know, you mentioned the media and their failure to cover anybody that isn't a household name. There are six candidates that have actually qualified to run in this mayoral election, but it seems to be that two are taking the lead with respect to how much coverage they get from the three major networks and also from the Times Union newspaper. The Times Union ran, even though I don't consider them a hometown newspaper anymore because they're not even made here, ran a pretty sizable article on the front page just this Sunday, and it showed Lenny Curry and Anna Brochet. Now you're out there in the mix as well as two other candidates.
That's right.
How does that make you feel to be kind of not even considered an also-ran?
I'm excited about the fact that, certain elements of the media are ignoring us today, because that sort of plays right into our hand. It actually is sort of part of the plan, because the citizens that we're working with, the thousands of people we're talking to, that our organizations are talking to, understand that we're not going to pop up and be super popular. Now, there's an element of this. At the end of it, we have to show up. We have to be there. And that's part of our game plan, is to do that in some organic ways also. But the media is not going to cover anyone that either doesn't raise enough money or doesn't present a marketing opportunity for them. I'll be honest with you, that's part of the problem. It's who's going to spend money in the media outlets and who's going to buy marketing. That's a piece of it. There's very little journalism. There's almost no journalism left in Duval County. There are a few, and I've heard from a few people that are tasked with taking care of the story of the election, but most of it's not journalism. And the ones that are, I'm very proud to have been contacted by, and there's a few starting to get it right now, but journalism's almost dead. It's kind of sad.
It's recently, one of my friends, who is the pilot of a local banner agency, flew over my home and all over Jacksonville with a Jimmy Hill banner behind his plane. Joel Wiener, Beach Banners. There's a quick plug for Beach Banners. That's an unusual form of marketing and publicity. And so is unusual going to be the status quo for the Jimmy Hill campaign?
It's funny. So what we've done for 21 years, you know, I was the boat show guy. I was the guy that did the big.
And I was going to tell you that in the next question. We've been on the air here with you for about 3 minutes, and I've already received three comments all saying, ask him to speak regarding the boat show. And is this not a revenge campaign?
So that's a great question. We have absolutely no interest in politics as a whole. But what did happen as a result of our business being literally smashed by the city, and we were smashed for the same reason a lot of other businesses are, and we were in the way of something much bigger. There still is a plan to give Metro Park away, which is, it's not a city-owned park. So we, for 21 years, did a great business, and it was destroyed. What that did is it gave me the time. It didn't give me the incentive. I had no interest in revenge. I actually have a much better business idea than what we were doing, and I'm doing this instead. And I don't want to go into detail, but if at the end of 4 years, I look forward to jumping into that. But it has nothing to do with revenge. What it does have to do with is all of the other business owners that came to me when our story made news for a long time in the news feed. A lot of other businesses pointed out similar activities. A good example, and this is just recent, the Landing's under the same exact pressure that we were under. The city doesn't like something they're doing, so they smash them. They literally obliviate them with political pressure, which is it's not ethical, quite frankly. So the only part of it that's revenge-based and is not revenge is that somebody has to stand up. If it's not me, somebody, and nobody else did. Nobody else would, and there was a couple of prominent politicians who I thought were credible enough and could have done it, and they just weren't going to stand against this incumbent. And I don't mind being the guy. And so I am motivated to do it because I've got time and energy and effort, but it's certainly not anything to do with revenge. And the good news is, I have a history of service. You know, I'd been elected before. It's not like I'm jumping in this like some, kind of scorned business owner. It's just I'm the only one that's quite frankly willing to do it and glad to be able to.
You talked about your history is from the beachside communities. Do you think you've got the beachside community sewed up?
So the beach is an interesting place. So I'm from Arlington, and I live at the beach for the last 30-plus years. I actually have been in every community in the beach. There's a whole segment of people that I surf with and play with and do water activities and understand my background defending Huguenot Park and all the stuff I've done there. But I probably aggravated as many people as a city commissioner because I'm principled, and I stood on principle. And sometimes when that happens, and I'll give you an example of that. So if you're a beachfront property owner, you probably don't love me completely because of my stance on parking. I'm about providing parking for all of Duval County at the beach. We don't own that beach. We're the custodians of it.
It's funny you should mention something about parking. I want to cover that in the next segment. Jacksonville's got a parking issue downtown. They've got a livelihood issue downtown, the Landing being a key portion of that. And folks would probably go down if there were two things that were different. That is the amount of parking that's available and also cleaning up the homeless situation with respect to panhandlers and folks sleeping on the park benches. That's a topic we'll get into when we get back. Jimmy Hill joining me today on The Last Word in Politics. We're going to take a break for just a second. The phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. We'd like for you to join us when we return.
Are you afraid of the IRS because you have unfiled or unpaid taxes? Most don't realize that having unfiled federal taxes is a misdemeanor punishable by up to 1 year in jail for each unfiled return. With the IRS, it's never a question of if they'll come, but when. We are J. David Tax Law, a local firm right here in Jacksonville. Your first step to IRS protection is our no-cost consultation. We take the time to go through your specific tax problem step by step. At J. David Tax Law, only highly experienced tax attorneys will represent you. Our fee payment plans are affordable for everyone. Call today for a no-cost consultation at 904-606-0009. That's 904-606-0009. Or find us on the web at jdavidtaxlaw.com. Peace of mind is only a click or phone call away.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Friday, January 18th at 7 p.m., the Jacksonville Symphony presents Amadeus at the Times Union Center for the Performing Arts. Saturday, January 19th from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's the Fernandina Beach Marketplace Farmers Market on North 7th Street in Fernandina Beach. And Saturday, January 19th from 2 to 5 p.m., it's the Winter Beach 5 and 10K Run at Jacksonville Beach.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Sean Robinson Realty has the ultimate real estate proposition for you. Own your own home. Sean Robinson Realty has likely sold or listed a property near you. If you close a home with Sean Robinson Realty, he'll give you a brand new big screen HD TV. Call 904-77-SEAN. That's 904-77-SHAWN. Sean Robinson Realty is your one stop for all of your real estate needs. Residential sales, commercial leases, or property management. Locally owned and operated by people who know your community. If you're looking to buy or sell a home or commercial property, don't waste your time. Call Sean Robinson Realty. Imagine getting a free big screen HD TV upon closing. Sean Robinson Realty will do it. Call 904-77-SEAN. That's 904-777-4296. 904-77-SEAN. Sean Robinson Realty. Ramona Flea Market has stuff. New stuff. Used stuff. Fun stuff. Kid stuff. Stuff to put stuff in. Stuff to build stuff with. And who needs all that stuff? You. And what do you do when you have too much stuff? Sell your stuff at Ramona Flea Market. Open every Saturday and Sunday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Book your space now. Call 904-786-3532. Ramona Flea Market. Ramona Boulevard near I-10 and 295.
Hey, hey, hey.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good afternoon, Jacksonville. Welcome back to The Last Word in Politics. Today's Last Word in Politics is starring Jimmy Hill, candidate for mayor here in Jacksonville. We've got all the candidates coming up for political office flowing through this studio at some point in time in order to give you an opportunity during your afternoon drive if you're stuck out there on the highways and byways of Jacksonville. Think about it if you are currently sitting on the Harbor Ridge Expressway and how quickly you're moving along, and think about what that's going to be like when you have to add three more stoplights to that if you want to continue to use that viaduct to get you out of downtown or into downtown in the morning for that matter because of the current plans to tear down a perfectly good expressway. I'm going to segue into that in just a minute, Mr. Hill, when I ask you about your position on that bridge. But when we left, we talked about you were saying that there's bullying tactics that are going on in downtown for the use of Metro Park, for the use of the landing. Tell me about the landing. Under a possible Hill administration, what's the disposition of the landing? Do you like the way Slayman Enterprises have been handling it so far?
So nobody likes the way the landing is today, but here's the reality of the landing. The reason it is the way it is our government failed the leaseholder because there's very clear evidence that they were supposed to be provided parking. And every business down there, parking is the issue. The Landing never had enough parking from day one to succeed as a retail mixed-use property. It didn't have any chance of success, no matter what anyone did. And that's been what the leaseholder's been saying from day one, is I can't do anything until I can park enough people to make enough business, you know, come through the doors to make it work. So the answer to it is a parking solution of some kind, a mixed-use parking facility somewhere in that vicinity. But then the Landing's going to change, and I don't know exactly what it looks like. I see it more as a food, you know, almost sort of what it was for a while, a food court venue type situation. That's where it can make the most money for the leaseholder. I don't really love the idea of it being residential. I just think that doesn't have much chance to get off the ground. But that's not my business, and I'll be honest with you. I think the city has an absolute, you know, we own it. The taxpayers own that property. We just leased it for a very long time. We're in that lease. We have to honor parts of that lease, at least as I understand it. And I think we're partnered with somebody that we have to sit down with and work with. And this idea, and I don't want to go into details, but the actions of this administration are directly, completely and 100% directly responsible for the really, really bad crime that took place down there. If people would dig into it and look at the security situation post scuffle with the city and the fact that the JSO was almost always there, something changed, and we need to dig into why there weren't JSO officers on that property. Not one person's mentioned that, and I'll say it here first because it's a big piece of that puzzle. There was a reason that there was less protection there, and it had more to do with politics and less to do with the Landing, and that's a big part of what happens. And I know that's big, you know, kind of a big thing to drop, but if you understand it and you know what happened, that's part of it.
That's a big allegation. I assume that you've got some information to back it up. Let's move on to the homeless situation in Hemming Plaza. It's starting to receive the moniker of Homeless Plaza.
Yep.
We have a beautiful library where it has computer access to all the citizens of Jacksonville, but it seems that most of the time it's being occupied by folks that are currently homeless that yep. need some place to hang out during the day. I had a guest on the show that indicated that Mayor Alvin Brown had developed what I will freely and openly admit I called the Homeless Daycare Center, which allowed for telephone access and computer access and showers and lockers and things of that nature. But $500,000 prevented that from continuing to be funded. $500,000 in the scheme of things, when we're willing to pay $47 million for big scoreboards at the stadium, I mentioned the other day that would have funded that project for 96 years.
Right.
Do you have a plan under a Hill administration that would solve the homeless problem downtown?
So it's multi-tiered, and the good news is it's not my plan. It's things that are working in other places. So I'm not ashamed to plagiarize what works. Reinventing the wheel is not necessary every time. We're not the only big municipal place with a homeless issue. One of the things is we have to institutionally stop enabling street living. Street living is not okay anywhere, and it's torture. In the wintertime, people don't think it's cold enough here. As a firefighter for 30 years, believe me, when you're out there and it's 20 degrees, the homeless are suffering like nobody's business. So we have to provide them a place. We have to get them somewhere to be off the street. I don't think downtown is the best place for that. They're only there because that's where the ability to service them exists. This city needs to address it, work diligently to get people off the streets with programs, and then there's going to be a segment that doesn't come off the street. It's just part of that formula. And then we need to do something that in a kind of in a weird way almost institutionalizes them. It gives them a place where the government can handle their needs and their services, and that's a strange word, but that's what we used to do when we had mental illness, and it was the only way to deal with it. And that's a part of that segment of that population. There's some mental illness that needs care, it needs help, and we have to spend the money to do it. Nobody likes it. It's not anybody's favorite subject, but when your downtown's literally collapsing as a direct result of it, I think it has to be managed, and I think you have to do something.
Let's take some phone calls real quick.
Sure.
I'm not our call screener is only allowed to go so far with respect to what he can ascertain from
sure.
the caller. So I've got something up here that Dana wants to ask you if you're aware of the East Coast tsunami, and I'm not sure what he means by that. Dana, you're on live with Jimmy Hill.
Hi. There is a Spanish volcano on one of the Spanish islands in the Atlantic, and it has erupted before, and it has a condition where it could cause an East Coast tsunami. And I just need to know from everybody, all the politicians. Are you at least aware of this and willing to become aware of it?
So here's the good news. Yeah, I'm absolutely aware of it. It's actually a landslide that they predict is a possible situation. It's not volcanic. It's literally a crack in an island, and it's enough mass to send directly focused tsunami to the east coast of the United States. And the issue is, are we prepared for it? Is there anything that we can do? And the only thing we can do, and many southern Florida, ironically, many South Florida communities are doing this, and they put in, literally put in a tsunami warning system. It's attached to a set of sirens and the typical stuff that you would do in other places that are so completely aware of it and in favor of utilizing the known technology and budgeting something for it. Not just that. So here's the other piece. There is a fault in Puerto Rico. There's other places that a legitimate tsunami could come from. And there's other ways to use that system. It can do other things other than just tsunami warning. So, yes, aware of it and more than willing to do something with it because it's kind of irresponsible to not be able to notify your public. But some of that might come digital, and we're getting into an age where we can reach most of our population through a digital warning system. So we explore that too.
I can tell you that in all my years of doing political talk radio, I've never had a caller that asked a question about a tsunami. So you are the first here today. Let's go now, I guess, to JC. JC, you're on the line with Jimmy Hill.
Hey, I was calling about news legislation that's going before the state government about banning the use of cell phones without the aid of Bluetooth. And I think that's something that's not good. I know that a senator that's on board with the bill, he's on the technology committee. So I think companies like Bluetooth could probably be giving kickbacks to implement that. I mean,
all right, JC, I gotta keep it on topic. I don't know that cell phone usage is going to be a topic for a mayoral candidate right now, although being that tsunamis are in the mix, why not cell phones too? Lori has got a more close to Jacksonville type of question, so let's take Lori's phone call real quick. Lori, you're on with Jimmy Hill.
Thank you. I just want to say is, are you from my understanding from NPR today, it's going to be a unitary election. The only contradicting information I got is when the votes are going to be. But when did unitary elections get passed in Jacksonville? Because that's not the way we usually do it.
Well, the previous elections for mayor, Kennedy, I'm going to answer this for you. Have all been unitary, Lori, going back since consolidation. That's just been the case. Whether you fielded a Democrat or a Republican for this office, they've always been in this fashion, 50 plus one. And if no particular candidate got 50 plus one, then the top two vote getters would carry over into a runoff election. That being said, there's a possibility that you will cause the runoff.
Right. I've been kind of counseled on the fact that I could end up being a spoiler. Well, if I see that we're going to do something that creates something that I personally don't believe in, or it favors somebody that I personally can't endorse or can't live with, and I feel like I'm going to hurt them, I'm going to have to look at that. But right this minute, the good news is, we don't look like a spoiler, right? This second, we look like a candidate that actually has more votes than the other two, and nobody knows it. And that's the beauty behind it. We've been working. Nobody knows this, but we've been on the streets. We have a better shot at this than either candidate right now. Both of the candidates running have huge luggage that something they've done recently or that disenfranchised giant pieces of the population. We literally don't have that exact problem. And the reason is we're principled, and we wouldn't have done any of the stuff that has made the voter bloc split up and kind of bail on these people.
I have been following politics for decades, and probably decades and decades now, and I understand the idea behind splitting the vote and being a spoiler. There's a very important question I want to ask you when you get back.
Sure.
Relative to that position, and right now you're taking the position of you have a chance to, if you were to look at the Times Union results, come from third to first very quickly. We're going to talk about the possibilities and the alternatives to that and what you might see yourself doing if, at the last minute, those strengths aren't there. And it would be irresponsible of me not to at least address that. You're listening to The Last Word in Politics. Today's guest is candidate for Mayor Jimmy Hill. I'll be returning in just a couple of minutes. The phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. Join us on the backside, won't you?
Talk Radio, AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. President Trump is vowing to continue to fight for border wall funding during a speech in New Orleans. Mr. Trump spoke at a farm convention Monday, declaring, "When it comes to keeping the American people safe, I will never, ever back down." Mr. Trump also sought to justify his position, insisting that a wall along the U.S.-Mexico border is needed on security grounds. A Wisconsin man suspected of abducting a 13-year-old girl made up his mind to take the teen when he spotted her getting on a school bus, and he made two aborted trips to her family's home before finally carrying out an attack in which he killed Jamie Kloss's mother in front of her, according to a criminal complaint filed Monday. Jake Thomas Patterson told investigators he was driving to his job at a cheese factory one day when he stopped behind a school bus and watched Jamie get on. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 86 points, the NASDAQ dropped 65. This is SRN News.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry MyPillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever.
MyPillow is now offering 50% off their 4-pack special, plus free shipping. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-950-9024 and use promo code WBOB. That's 50% off plus free shipping. Don't delay. Order now.
Athanasius was a 4th century Christian bishop of Alexandria, Egypt, who was a staunch defender of biblical Christianity. The Athanasian Creed, one of the three main doctrinal confessions of the early church, is attributed to Athanasius, although it is likely he did not actually write it. Nonetheless, Athanasius was a powerful theologian who defended the deity and humanity of Christ. At the Council of Nicaea in 325 AD, Athanasius stood and declared, "If all of this world falls from the truth, I will stand. Would you or I stand for God's truth if we were the only person in the world who believed it?" Well, this is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover how God blesses faithfulness on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
Hunting season's here, so let me ask you this. Are you really going to try to squeeze another year out of that wore-out ATV of yours? You need to get down to Jacksonville Power Sports, where you can compare three brands under one roof. Take advantage of the great deals on Kawasaki, Can-Am, or Polaris ATVs and side-by-sides. Jacksonville Power Sports. They got knowledgeable salespeople, a well-stocked parts department, and a service department that fixes them right the first time. Jacksonville Power Sports. Your hunt starts here. Visit JacksonvillePowerSports.com. That's JacksonvillePowerSports.com.
Where are the tie-ups to avoid? WBOB traffic.
Major delays on the West Beltway because of an accident on 295 northbound just off the Buckman Bridge on the Orange Park side at the exit at US 17 Roosevelt Boulevard that's blocking all the northbound lanes. Also look out for a crash on the West Beltway 295 southbound beyond Pritchard Road, that one causing delays as well. Partly cloudy and cool tonight, low 43, Tuesday mostly sunny, high around 59.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good afternoon, Jackson. Welcome back to The Last Word in Politics. We're going to change these teasers up. The I'm Speaking Plainly teaser, of course, works perfectly for my Saturday night show from 6 to 9 p.m., and I hope you'll join me there also. But Monday through Friday, we have a new addition to the WBOB lineup, kind of a groundbreaking show in the afternoons here on any talk radio station, and that is in the 5 to 6 o'clock hour, we're doing The Last Word. And
it's The Last Word, right?
Yeah, it is The Last Word. Today, The Last Word in politics. Tomorrow, The Last Word in insurance with Dan, the insurance man. And, of course, Wednesday, The Last Word in real estate with Rapid Fire Real Estate and Anita Hiles. And then, of course, Thursday and Friday, back to you and me again. You and me, AJ, right here.
It's in our hands.
Yeah, Marty, I'm going to get to you on the phone in just a second, but I teased out this next question, and that is, all right, so you get up to the March elections.
Right.
Looks like you got some steam, but the jury is still out. And maybe you don't get quite there to cross the finish line. You finish in a really good, strong third. Because you're basically kind of running a campaign against the current administration, do you see yourself banding together and possibly throwing your support towards another candidate?
Here's the thing. Right this minute, I don't see any path where we can't be in first place. And when I say that, it's numeric. It's just counting actual voter blocks that we know that we've reached and that we're really entrenched in. We're going to be probably in first place. And it's based on a couple of things. This is not the best, you know, the best election in the world for an incumbent to win because of the turnout in the mayor's race is generally not a strong turnout. Now we're bringing new faces to that process and we're doing street work that nobody's done yet. And we're hitting people that are disenfranchised, and that's not hard to find in this city right now. The disenfranchised are way, way easier to find than people that are happy with what's going on.
We can take a phone call real quick from, let me see if I can pick the right phone line. Let's go to Marty in St. Augustine. Marty's been waiting for a while. Marty, you're on the line with Jimmy Hill.
Well, first of all, Jimmy Hill, you know, I met you at that Pence rally in Jacksonville months ago.
I remember it.
St. Augustine, I want to say this to the radio world. I got a very good vibe from you. I get very good impressions. You sound very knowledgeable, and I hope you make it. I want to ask you something. As far as I'm concerned, I've been down here for 26 years, and when we put on the TV news and the radio, all we hear, not all, but shooting, 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 murders in Jacksonville. So as far as I'm concerned, until the crime situation is corrected, similar to New York, where they went from 2,000 homicides a year down to about 200. Until that crime situation disappears, Jacksonville is always going to be nothing. So I would like to know if you have a plan, and I'm not holding you to it because you're not a policist like I used to be.
Right.
But do you have any idea of what we can do? The other stuff I'm going to say, or maybe the crime is the elephant in the room nobody wants to talk about, but that's the real deal in Jacksonville.
Absolutely.
That's the thing that's keeping businesses and other people in enclaves, private or gated communities. So let's talk about the crime, and what do you think? Is it an issue?
Sure.
If not, what do we want to do about it?
Thank you for your call, Marty.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a big part of what we want to do. And so I'm a very, very strong proponent of the fact that, you know, your law enforcement is a big part of your crime prevention. But honestly, law enforcement is designed to respond post-crime. And that's the dilemma, is once the crime's done, we can enforce, and then it acts as a deterrent through the punishment system. And right now it's not really having the desired effect. We're missing a piece of our society. So here's my plan for crime prevention. Society has to grab hold of the fact that we have a lot of kids, and everybody was a kid at some point. Somebody said the other night, well, they're not all kids. All the criminals are not kids. And I heard that. But they're not all kids, but they're all younger mostly. And so we have to get them before the gangs get to them and before the street gets to them. You don't have to be in a gang to become a criminal. As a matter of fact, there are a lot of drug addicted people who are stealing and ultimately doing violent crime. And the opiate issue that the president's addressing and that everyone else is addressing is a huge piece of the formula. And the gangs are too. So I have this kind of theory, and I call it the fire pit, because in my house, we're the house where all the kids hang out. And quite frankly, it's a place where kids get three things. They get mentorship, they get a secure environment, and they get camaraderie with kids who are decent influence. And that's the key to the criminal situation in Duval County. Believe it or not, government's going to absolutely have to provide some of that same sort of thing, because there are families that don't have that. There are kids that aren't getting that, and they are turning to gangs and they're turning to drugs. And so we're not going to police our way out of it. It doesn't mean do anything less police-wise, because the situation's what it is, and we have to fund what it takes to do the proper policing, and I'm a big proponent of that. But if we don't get in front of it and we don't do something with these kids in a meaningfully different way, and that's the thing, we have to act. And we have to spend some money to do it, too. So that's a big part of it. And I'm going to say really quick, I want to rely on and lean on the military a little bit. There's a lot of active duty military who have some free time when they're here. And they're kind of put out into the community to do service and that sort of thing. And I've met many of them through my career as a firefighter. They would come and volunteer with us and that sort of thing. What better mentors are there than squared away people who could mentor kids and for a few hours a day here and there? And then pull right out of the neighborhoods. There's good people in every neighborhood in this community that can do the same thing.
Let's take another phone call real quick from Art. Art's on the line with Jimmy Hill.
Yes, hello. And it's really refreshing to hear Mr. Hill talk. I normally don't tune into the program.
Well, we're glad you're here today.
Well, thank you very much. It's just refreshing to hear him talk. I've been here about 3 years in Jacksonville, retired law enforcement out of the Atlanta area, started my career in firefighting as well. And I was just completely floored of seeing the homeless issue here in Jacksonville. And trust me, they have them in Atlanta. But trust me, this outdoes Atlanta by far. I was shocked traveling downtown and seeing them out there. It's just horrible, especially I've noticed around Main Street. I stopped at a traffic light one night and saw a guy put a cardboard down right in front of the business doors and was going to sleep there, you know.
Wow.
They're down there by the dozens. Of course, you never see the police, and even though you can't have a
permanent solution. Art, I got a question. So I got to jump in because we're limited on time. So you'd like to know Mr. Hill's plan is to maybe address the homeless situation. Thank you for your call today, Art.
So it's a big issue. So the homeless population needs a couple. Well, first let's address one piece of it. So how many people think those people are from here? Because most, if not all of them, you know, I'd say 85% are not.
You know, what's funny is we addressed this on my other show.
Right.
And if you go, there are websites.
Right.
The friendliest cities in the U.S. We're number two in Florida.
We're absolutely a collection point for the nation's homeless. And something has to be done to spread the financial load of this, because they literally, I've met homeless on the street, 3-4 in the morning, 22 degrees, and they've called because they're freezing to death, and they call the fire department. This is years back, and about 8 years ago. And they have a bus ticket in their hand. They show me where they came from. They were paid by the community they left to come here, and that has to be addressed. It has to be talked about. They literally are paid to come here, and they are told to get off the bus. For one reason, it's supposed to be warmer here. It's supposed to be Florida, but the problem is it's not sustainable. It freezes hard enough here to kill you, and so that's a big issue. Atlanta, probably certain times of year, they have to leave Atlanta. They'll freeze to death there, too. And so Florida's perceived as this safe place to send your homeless. And we got to deal with that. But they're here. So let's talk about them. They're real. They're humans. They're people. They're suffering. So society has to understand that it exists. So we do have to do something along the lines. And I think it's going to be actual housing.
You know, when Sheriff Rutherford was here acting as sheriff or being the sheriff of Duval County, he talked about a misdemeanor releasing facility and a homeless facility outside of the core downtown. Is that something that you could see as a possible future?
So I'm going to throw something out. I haven't talked about this at all, but I'm going to throw something out. So we have something unique in Florida. We have a secondary highway. US 1 was the primary highway, and now it's a secondary highway. And all along that facility and all along that road are multi-use, multi-room small hotels. And they're actually institutional, almost quality construction. We see them. They're empty. A lot of them turn into places of bad activity. A lot of them turn into things that we don't like in our community. They can be bought for nothing because there's housing, there's facilities, some of them older and they need to be refurbed. So that's an option that could be looked at. There's a lot of structural things that can be done, but the biggest piece that people are going to have to do is we just have to address it. We have to budget for it, and we have to, and I'm not going to try and solve it on the Bill Hay show,
right?
But I will tell you that there are professionals out there. I listened to a gentleman today who talked specifically about veteran homeless. There's a very valid solution for that problem that lives inside the veteran community, and no one's talking about it. No one's even asking them about it. So we have to put a group together that understands we're gonna deal with that issue aggressively, and we got to get these people off the street. It's killing our downtown.
All right, you're listening to The Last Word in Politics today. We've got one more segment coming up. Jimmy Hill, candidate for mayor, joining us here in the studio, and he's taking your phone calls and questions from the air. 222-TALK, 222-8255. If you are a new listener to this particular segment of Afternoon Drive, we're glad. We'd like for you to tell your friends about it. This is going to be the last word Monday through Friday, this particular one-hour segment. AJ and I will have different people coming through the studio. Today, of course, being political. Tomorrow, insurance. The third day, real estate. And then back to two more in political. If you have a particular skill or a particular business that you think might fit in with the last word, give a call to the studio Monday through Friday. Speak to Alexis, and she'll be glad to speak to you more about the last word here on WBOB. We'll be right back. Join us on the backside, won't you?
Hey, I'm Brant. So there's this guy named Jordan. He's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. And he goes to the doctor, true story, he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage four. And here's the thing. He had switched earlier from medical insurance to MediShare, where Christians share each other's medical bills. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this actually going to work?
Our medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. So if you want to find out more, here is a number for you. 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE.
I can give you a brand new kitchen in days, not weeks, not months. Hi, I'm Jeff Martin from Martin Appliance and Greystone Kitchens with my secret formula for your new kitchen. Quick and easy and economical. 90% of new cabinets today are painted. Modern colors, crisp and clean. 90% of new countertops are granite or quartz. Impeccably stylish, incredibly functional. Our secret? We swap your counters and refinish your cabinets to the color of your choice at a fraction of the cost. None of the hassle. And done in days. Call Greystone Kitchens at 213-9100 for your secret solution. Come see us on Phillips Highway across from Regal Cinema. That's Greystone Kitchens and Martin Appliance. New kitchen, new appliances. And if you want new cabinets, I can do that too. I'm a licensed contractor for crying out loud. Florida State License CGC 1526479.
What you see is what you get. Martin Appliance Family.
Don't stress over a leaky or damaged roof. Just call Perkins Express Roofing. Perkins Express Roofing is available 24/7. If you've had damage from a storm or accident, there's a good chance insurance will cover it, and Perkins Express Roofing will do all of the paperwork for you. If you're remodeling, renovating, or building a new home or building, let Perkins Express Roofing's parent company, MCM Builders, do a free estimate and show you how much they can save you. From a leak to a whole roof, Perkins Express Roofing is locally owned and operated and totally licensed and insured. Your roof is one of the most important parts of your home. Trust the professionals at Perkins Express Roofing. Call 904-525-2277 or 626-2860. Currently hiring sales reps. Equal opportunity employer. Perkins Express Roofing says, we keep you covered. 525-2277 or 626-2860. State license number CCC 1330452.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good afternoon, Jacksonville. Welcome to The Last Word in Politics. My guest today in the studio is Jimmy Hill, candidate for mayor here in Duval County. Going into the break, we talked about some issues, and I missed one that's very important to me and to the listeners, and that is the apparently unnecessary destruction of the Hart Bridge Expressway. Do you have a comment on whether or not Sure. that's a good or bad idea?
Sure, it's a terrible idea. It's an absolutely terrible idea. It's a piece of infrastructure that is built, it's in place, it's structurally sound, it serves a tremendous number of users every day, and moving it isn't required to make maximum use of that land. People seem to think that the acreage isn't right or some part of it. If that structure is used properly, it can actually be an asset. We have worked, personally with that structure for years. The underside of it has incredible value for mixed use events and things of that nature. The it has the same environment underneath that overpass as the Riverwalk, where the Art Walk is.
The Riverside Arts Mart.
Yeah, it has the same effect. It's a shaded, massive structure. Now, it just doesn't fit the master plan because it can't be maximized. But at some point, the taxpayer's has to be the person that makes at least weighed in on this big decision. And right now, the developer is moving big pieces on the board that may not be the best interest of the city. And I'm adamantly opposed to it. I think it's kind of insane without an alternate route that's going to manage the traffic and handle the traffic. To be making moves like that is just unheard of, and I'm surprised.
I've kind of never understood why they. It always seemed like it was half built to me. Why didn't they ever do that? Yes, it is an elevated highway. Why didn't they move that elevated highway, started at I-95, so you could get right without clogging up downtown? They'd never really made sense in some of the traffic pattern usage they employ here in Jacksonville.
It's a good point. So the other there's a lot of unfinished infrastructure. No one's talked about the laughingstock of downtown, the Skyway Express, the tram to nowhere, and
talked about it. In this race.
So there's a hundred things that we could nitpick about what's done in the past. What I want to do is go forward and correct what we can, fix what we can, manage what we can. But more importantly, all of these big decisions need to come out of the back room and into the sunshine.
Let me do a little rapid fire here. We're running out of time.
Sure,
real quick. Let me bring up some phone calls real quick. Tow Truck Mike on the line. Tow Truck, do you have a comment for Jimmy Hill?
I just like what he's saying because it's down to earth and very honest, and I like that.
All right, thanks, buddy. Phone lines are just loaded up. We've got all the lights blinking. I'm going to try and get through everybody while we're here on the studio today. Robert, welcome on board, and you have a question. You disagree about the police being reactive.
Right. So I agree with you. I probably kind of headed that a little bit off the rail. So the police, unfortunately, in Jacksonville are more reactive than they are preventive. And I know there's a ton of preventive actions going on, and I know our law enforcement does an amazing job, but they're being overwhelmed. But I will tell you this, and I'm gonna kind of lean off of that. I don't think we're even close to where we need to be in the community policing aspect. Our police officers actually are not able, because of the current environment, to do the type of community policing that they need to, because there are serious security risks for our law enforcement as a direct result of national issues and organizations who are targeting police literally as the bad guy, and that's got to stop. We have to end that immediately.
All right, Robert, thank you for your call today. I appreciate it, buddy. The common thought is that when you say the police are reactive, the common thought is that we can't arrest ourselves out of the current crime problem that exists here in Jacksonville. Programs possibly that you can think of with respect to like re-energizing PAL or opening up the schoolyards, anything like that cross your mind?
Absolutely. So I have teenage boys, so I'm watching their friends and their environment. There's nothing for kids to do in this city, literally. I mean that. There's sports, and if you're in the right neighborhood, you get to participate in organized sports. But beyond that, there's nothing. And the kids get kind of picked. Now, there's some skate parks, and there's some things in different neighborhoods. But if you're even hovering around the skate parks, it's not the safest place in the world. There's a lack of mentorship, and that just has to be addressed. So, yeah, we have to work on that. And, I just have a pretty clear understanding that society has to take an enhanced role in something we're not supposed to, by the way. Family's supposed to do this, right? This is supposed to be the way it works. But the family doesn't exist in the way it did, so it's creating these problems. So something has to change. Society will have to pick up a couple of these pieces and do a better job.
For some reason or other, we have just cleared the phone board. So if you guys are out there that you've been waiting, if you've rolled over to line two, unfortunately, you've been dropped. And I apologize. If you'd like to call back, we've got about maybe a minute and a half that we can reach you.
Yeah, let me throw something out if I can. So the big difference is, and everybody wants to know why in the world I'm doing this and whatever, the big difference is both of these major candidates that everyone's hearing so much about in the media have had a very long time to do something with some of these issues. Both of them have been in positions of absolute power where their involvement should have had a major effect on some of these issues, and neither one of them were able to get it done for whatever reason. And some of it's resolve, some of it's just pure lack of interest in it, and some of it's just the wrong idea. And I bring a different view to it, and I'm really excited about it. So I'm burning a little airtime just kind of differentiating myself from what you have. You have people who've become politicians, and And I'm going to fight that urge more than anybody can imagine. It's just not who I am and not what I am. I'm a citizen who's ready to serve.
All right. So let me go back here. We got Blake on line two, Blake on line two, Blake on line two, Dana on line two. So let me see if I can get one of these up. I'm not exactly sure. The computer is not telling me. Who's on line two?
It's Blake.
Hey.
Dillon. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, buddy. Go ahead. What would Jimmy Hill in the studio?
Jimmy, we have a huge problem with the pension, don't we?
We do, and it's funny you bring up pension. That's one of the – so the biggest problem with the pension is everybody's been told it's fixed, and the real problem is something's been done, but our pension is not fixed for our police and fire and our public servant side of things. It's been patched. It's been band-aided, and the problem is it's going to bite us in the tail generations to come, and we have 18 police officers arrested this year. Anyone want to guess why we have 18 police officers arrested in 1 year? The playing field has changed. The thing that makes people stay and turn into those high-quality employees is the fact that there's something to lose at the end of the day. So that's an element of that. Nobody said a word about it yet. So we have to take another look at that issue. People are actually campaigning on having fixed it, and quite frankly, it's more broken now than ever.
Blake, I had a lot of background noise there. You might have been driving with your window down. Couple of things we have to tell, and we hope everybody will join us for this show each and every afternoon. Roll your windows up, turn your radios down, something that I guess we have to say every time on talk radio. Jimmy Hill, website, phone number, campaign office?
Absolutely, jimmyhillforjacksonville.com, and that's the easiest way, jimmyhillforjacksonville.com. We're on Facebook, and I can be reached. I think my phone number is on everything there, so I hope people will engage. I am accessible. That's the other piece. So, you know, it sounds very canned, but, you know, transparency, integrity, and accessibility. If you take those three things and you actually apply those to your government, it'll work, and that's what we're going to do.
If memory serves me correct, I heard you at an event recently talking about the fact that your marketing is going to be much different than the typical candidate because of your experience with the boat show.
Absolutely. It's all we've done for 21 years is spend a very small amount of money to make something really, really big happen. So we don't need $1 million. And actually, the fact that somebody has more than $1 million in this race needs to be looked into. As a citizen, I'm just stunned that our process, our political process, is so dark that you have to raise millions to get a job that doesn't pay anywhere near that. So what we're going to do is take a small amount of money, and we can use some money, by the way. We're obviously in a campaign and need to fund it, but we don't need the money that they have. We don't need any of the ties that come with taking big money from people who don't really have the best interest in mind. And I don't want to be indentured to anybody for millions of dollars with taxpayer money as the only thing to pay them back with. It just makes no sense.
All right. Well, Jimmy Hill joining us here in the studio tonight. And once again, for that website, what's Jimmy Hill for mayor, right?
Jimmy Hill for Jacksonville.
Jimmy Hill for Jacksonville.
Yep. JimmyHillForJacksonville.com.
Are you going to do the typical campaign signs and the like?
Yeah, a lot of it will, you know, you'll see some conventional stuff, but you'll see some stuff that's never been rolled out for campaign related stuff. And it's just asymmetrical. It's really the best way to say it. We're going to do things much more grassroots too. I mean, it's people talking to people. It's going to kind of get a little bit more kind of old school, actually. We're not going – we use technology, obviously. We're going to be online in different ways and use technologies that aren't everyday used technology-wise as far as for campaigning especially. So, But it's something we've done professionally for 21 years. We bring a lot of people to fun events, and then we want to bring a lot of people to the fight to change Jacksonville to a better place.
All right. Well, thank you for joining me here today on The Last Word. Jimmy Hill, candidate for mayor here in Jacksonville. You've been listening to him for an hour or so, and I assume that before the race is done and over that you will be back in here again in the studio either on one of these Last Word days or on a Saturday night for I'm Speaking Plainly. Either one of those, I'm sure that the folks would be anxious to hear from you again, and best of luck in your race.
Bill, thank you for the opportunity.
You're welcome. And once again, for those of you out there listening, you've been listening to The Last Word. Today, I had The Last Word in politics along with AJ. We'll be back in here tomorrow with The Last Word in insurance with Dan, the insurance man. Hope you will join us at 5 o'clock tomorrow here on WBOB.
This is the spark that starts it. This is the oak that smokes it. These are the hands that pull it. This is the knife that slices it. This is our original slow smoked pork. And Sonny's Barbecue is the only place you'll find it. Come get an original pork plate at Sonny's with pulled or sliced pork and either more pork, ribs, or ribs and smoked wings, plus a side and bread starting at $8.99. Sonny's Barbecue, local pitmasters since 68.
To bypass the CNNs and the MSNBCs, to bypass the New York Times and the Washington Post, ABC and NBC and CBS. There's some fellow conservatives out there who are very troubled by this. They haven't even acknowledged what just took place. It's okay. They'll learn to understand. It's not about personality. It's about liberty. That's our watchword, liberty. And I'm very excited about this.
Mark Levin on Talk Radio, AM 610.